All right, we got the mayor in studio. City council meeting last night. Was it fairly run-of-the-mill? Any hot discussions?
We had several good discussions last night. And I think we got out of there, it was probably about 8:20, so we were approaching 3 hours.
Almost 3 hours, mm-hmm. So you did have things to talk about. Let's kind of go through this. You started off approving your appointments of some people to the North Platte Tree Board. Talk about that.
That's right. We appreciate all the folks that are on the tree board. They're very dedicated to making sure we have lots of trees in our community, trying to care for the ones that are here, make sure they stay healthy. And last night, we appointed Mr. Jim Conley and Mr. Ron Meyer, and we reappointed Ms. Mary Schimmen and John Guchenreiter to the tree board. So we appreciate their service and all the things that they do.
What is the primary function of the tree board?
They promote planting of trees. This is rather obvious, but they get money, some monies from various grants and things like that. And they're the primary reason that North Platte's been a Tree City USA for, goodness, I'm not even sure how many years. I think it's approaching 40-some years we've had the Tree City USA designation. Mm-hmm. So you have to have a tree board to do that. And they pick a tree of the quarter and a tree of the year, and they advertise these beautiful trees so people can go around and look at them in our city. And then
just promote the planting of trees, basically.
Exactly. And they help. If someone has an issue with their tree, they can call a member of the tree board, and the experts will come out and look at it and offer them some advice.
That's good to have that as well. I just asked you because I figured there are some people wondering, why do we need a tree board? But they do good things.
They do good things. They're all entirely volunteer, and we appreciate their service.
Okay. Applications, as always, you get for events coming up, special liquor licenses, because anytime they're doing something away from their primary business location and want to do a remote selling of liquor, they have to go through the city council to get that approved. And I take it you approved all the ones that were on the agenda
last night? Did approve all of them. There's I think there were three or four in total, just a quick scan, I believe so, yes. One kind of interesting one is that Midwest Leaf LLC, which is going to have a liquor event with liquor on April 30th at the Riverside Community, which is the new house, some of the new housing that's going up to the south of East Phillip Street.
Yep.
There's a couple houses over there that they've been working on, and they're having a little ribbon cutting over there, and yeah, I think you'll have the opportunity to kind of look around in the houses and things like that. So if you have some time on around 3 o'clock on April 30th, there'll be people there, and you'll be able to see the houses. So
okay, and then the other ones approved. There was one for Music on the Bricks, an application by Brothers Tavern.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's always great. Good Music on the Bricks is an exciting event that entirely created by our local folks, and the first one this year is on May 15th and 16th.
Yep. And Pals asked for a special designated license for an event on May 2nd.
And, yes, that's the First Responders Foundation event.
Okay.
That's a kind of a fundraiser for the First Responders Foundation, and one of the primary functions of their foundation is to help out first responders who may have been injured or have retired and are in need of some money to cover expenses or something like that. That's what they do. It's a great cause, and we hope people will come out and support them at PALS on May 2nd.
Good. Then we get into kind of the thick of it. You considered action on an application by Charles Roberts and Richard Hausman for Roberts Subdivision. That's out on Rodeo Road.
If you're someone who drives down Rodeo Road West on a regular basis, you've noticed that for the last, probably year and a half, some folks have been working hard to clean up the lot that would be immediately east of the Casey's that's on Rodeo Road and Buffalo Bill. And this piece of property is that lot. And those gentlemen are getting ready to build, I believe it's a duplex right there. And so there'll be some really nice new housing setting just behind Casey's on that road. And Councilman McNew brought up a really good point last night when he said, you know, we want to make sure that there's sidewalks in these new developments so that the area is more walkable and safer for people to travel, especially along what is a highway, because it's technically Highway 30 right there. And he had a great point, and we had already had a discussion with the developer, and he had planned to build a sidewalk all along. So that's good news, and we hope over the years the sidewalks will develop down the highways so that we've got a nice, safe place for people to walk and
Can you make that a condition on development, too, yes. that they put in sidewalks?
Yes, we can require it. And generally, housing specifications do require that sidewalks are put in place. There are occasionally some exceptions based on different situations, but we always ask to have sidewalks put in.
Sidewalks are nice, yeah, especially as much traffic as Rodeo Road gets, for sure.
Yes, definitely a requirement there. And
yeah, got to have a place to walk. For sure. Did you approve using the New Bern funds to finance concrete work there? Polygon Park Shelter to install on Cody Park.
We did. It's been about probably not quite 18 months ago we approved another park shelter to be built kind of on the east side of Cody Park where there used to be a playground set. Mm-hmm. There's a newer playground set kind of by the hill over there. And this is this shelter will be built where the old playground set was. So this is really just paving the foundations. And for that building, because it's a good-sized building, you have to have pretty good foundation in there. So the concrete is 3 feet deep. So there's a lot of concrete there. So Mr. Reeker was Councilman Reeker was asking about, that's kind of expensive. And like, well, yeah, it is, but it's 3 feet deep concrete. So there's a lot of it.
That'll last a long time, I'm guessing.
Yes, we'll be long gone when that's still there.
Mm-hmm. Just over $38,000 is the money on that to finance. And then moving down to item J, authorize the mayor to approve, negotiate, and sign all necessary documents for the proposals submitted by Midwest Petroleum Equipment for about $362,000 to replace the fueling system located at the Public Service Department.
It's always interesting the things that happen that you never think about when you're involved in city government. And this is the refueling area that's out just directly west of Cody Park, where the Public Service Department is. There's and city vehicles refuel there on a regular basis. And so there are fuel storage tanks and the associated lines and things like that. And they were originally put in somewhere in the late 80s, 87, 88, somewhere in that vicinity. Well, we discovered about 6 months ago that they've started to decay. The wiring is frayed. And you don't want wiring and fuel in the same ground.
That would not be good.
Yeah, that can be very bad. So as we analyzed this, we said, well, first of all, we got to fix it. And we need the experts to come in and fix it. We don't want the people who aren't used to working with fuel out there or something horrible might happen. So that's why we put out bids, and these guys were the lowest bid, which we appreciate very much. We did analyze because the city buys fuel in bulk. And we usually buy it we make a contract every year or every 6 months, depending on the nature of what the fuel sellers are willing to do at the time. So the city pays generally between 30 and 50 cents lower for a gallon of fuel than what you and I pay when we go to the pump.
Huh. Okay. Got to make a deal with the city to get my vehicle filled.
We can't do that, sorry.
You can't do that.
But generally speaking, that's how it works. Hmm. And in doing so, we spend around 600,000 gallons a year in fuel, somewhere around there.
And this for all the city vehicles?
Yes. I misquoted. We spend about 300 gallons, about 300,000 gallons. Sorry. Okay. Did my math the wrong way there. So what? The long story short is if you assume we're saving 50 cents a gallon, this work pays for itself in about 3 years.
That's the way to look at it.
If we're assuming that we're paying, if we're saving 30 cents a gallon, it takes about 5 years to pay for itself, and the equipment will last probably another 20 years. So it's a really good deal for the city to do this, because the alternative that we explored was, should we just make a deal with one of the local vendors and go to, fill up at Quick Stop or one of the other great gas
stations. But you wouldn't save nearly as much, right?
But we would not save nearly as much money. And so that's why we've decided to go ahead and rebuild this fuel depot.
Okay. So it'll be worth it. What's the timeline on that?
It will take about 4 months once they actually get started, and I don't know exactly when they'll be starting.
Okay. You hope they have it complete by the end of this year, then?
Yeah, it will be done by the end of this year, yes.
That's the understanding.
We're down to one fueling location over there right now, which occasionally there's a little bit of a line, so...
How many vehicles does the city maintain?
If you count the ones that travel around the streets and don't count the backhoes and things like that. It's about 200.
Wow. Wow, yeah. I wouldn't have guessed that many.
Yeah, there's quite a few, but consider all the devices we have to push snow and things like that, and it's a fair number.
Interesting. Okay, on to the regular agenda. Authorize the mayor to negotiate and sign a contract for guaranteed maximum price number 3 and interim industrial wastewater treatment plant with Rice Lake West.
Right. This is the company that's building our industrial sewer plant out there, and this is basically finishing the last 10% of the work that needs to be done on that plant for it to come to fruition. It won't actually be complete until, I think it's about 9 months from now, it will be complete. There'll be quite a bit of work done over there this summer, but you can, I don't know if you've been out there, but there are these two great big pits out there that it's, you have to almost look at what it looked like before and what it looked like now, because those pits have been there for so long, it sort of looks normal. And but we're excited to have it done, and this is the last 10% of the job.
Is that out by Sustainable Beef?
It is. Yeah, sorry.
That's what I thought.
I guess I forgot you're not a local, so you wouldn't know.
Yeah.
It's along Newberry Access to the north of
where Sustainable Beef is. Yeah. I've gone past it then. You said that is for the last 10%, so has this been kind of in, you have to approve it in phases, or?
Yes, this was a, this project was a, was what they call a design build project, where you have to, you build it, you design some of it, and you build it, and you design and build and design and build. It's traditionally, and what really the city prefers to do is design a project to completion and then bid it. So you sort of know what the final cost is. That's what the rec center and
that's why I asked. Yeah.
We don't normally do projects like this in this manner. And I don't know that we'll ever do another one again, at least as long as I'm here.
Did they request it then to do it that way?
No, that, the one thing about design build, the advantage that you gain is that you can get started and get the project moving. Had we waited for complete plans to be done, and had we...
Would have got started much later.
Yeah, would have got started, and Sustainable Beef would have had to sit there with an empty building for a year, which wasn't a plausible option.
So this was kind of one of those rare exceptions because of the nature of Sustainable Beef and wanting to get them going and facilitate them being able to operate. Right.
And what I always love to remind people is that Sustainable Beef pays the cost of building and maintaining the plant. City of North Platte taxpayers don't pay anything for it. Sustainable Beef pays for it.
So,
or the use. So if we eventually have additional users, they will also pay part of those fees.
Yeah. No reason to get worked up about it.
That's right.
All right. They're taking care of it. Second reading in action to adopt an ordinance to amend another ordinance relating to paving District 842. Is this the Francis, one of the Francis Street extensions or another?
Yes, this is a piece of the Francis Street extension.
That's what I thought.
We discussed this one. Well, good Lord, it seems like we've discussed this one every meeting for the last year. I know that hasn't been the case, but it seems like. This is part of the second phase of the attribution of the cost to a certain lots north of what is Francis Street. And we have an adjustment to the tax increment financing or the redevelopment agreement that needs to be made. It's really just a clarification of payment responsibility. And the attorneys have been working on it since last time we discussed this, which was late last year. I did tell them that this ordinances are good after or are active after three readings. And I did tell the attorneys we need to get that redevelopment agreement in place because I'm not going to complete this ordinance until that redevelopment amendment is in place. So I suspect we'll have it on the agenda here on the 17th, or we'll hold off on this one until such time as we have that amendment.
So this was the second reading.
So
the next one, if you approve, will put the ordinance into effect.
That's correct. It takes effect 2 weeks after it's read the third time.
Okay. So. 2 weeks after. All right. Yeah, another second reading, and that was to adopt an ordinance vacating a portion of an alley located between 621 and 701 East 12th Street.
Correct. This alley, if you drive north on Poplar Street until you hit Rodeo Road, if you went directly north, you would drive into this alley. And it doesn't actually serve a municipal function. People drive through there from time to time, but it's one of those things where it was probably an open lot and people just started driving through it, and so it became an alley. I think it's probably what happened to it. one of the adjoining property owners would like to build across that and expand a duplex. And so we've been working with him for probably almost a year to get this done. And so I would imagine the council will continue to approve it, and then we'll sell the piece of property to him, and he can begin his building project.
Okay. Things like this, pretty common?
No, not really.
Not really?
We don't abandon alleys very often. Okay. I think in the time I've been mayor, we've maybe done this two or three times.
Oh, okay. So, not common. Okay.
There are no utilities in it, so there's really, it's just a piece of land that people drive over.
Okay. Gotcha. Then on to public hearings, and you want to do touch on amend the City of North Platte Comprehensive Plan 2011 Future Land Use Map, amending certain land from agricultural vacant to residential low-density single-family, and this pertains to property located at 492 West North River Road.
Correct. Items 6 and 7 are tied together. They're actually outside the City of North Platte, but we have the extra jurisdictional area, and so it's within that area. And so this is just subdividing a piece of property where some folks are planning to build another house on a piece of property they own. It was zoned ag, which means it's got to be at least 10 acres in size. When they split it in half, it's no longer 10 acres in size, so it has to be zoned something besides A1.
Okay.
So that's why we're rezoning it. And then their intent is to build a house kind of up along the road there. And so then I don't know if they're going to move into that one and sell the old one, or I'm not sure what the plan is. But generally speaking, they're building a new house out there. So we're always excited to see more development.
And so that was just the first reading. So two more times before that takes effect?
That's correct, yes. Okay. And usually if the council doesn't see anyone who has any issues with it, they may vote to end it after the next one.
Okay. And they're rezoning from A1 Transitional Agricultural District to an RL Suburban Residential District.
Right, that's item number 7, kind of tied to item number 6. In this particular case, just occurred to me, see, I walked off without my notes, so I know, but the council did actually vote to suspend the three readings on this one since it's a single property owner and there aren't any close neighbors. So this will be active in 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. So just one reading is all you needed on that. Not controversial, so go ahead and adopt that. And then down to 8 and 9, kind of lump those together.
Yep.
Also concerning City of North Platte Comprehensive Plan 2011 Future Land Use Map, amending certain land from residential medium density and multifamily to commercial. And this is property located at 2200 East 2nd Street. And then the rezoning with that, too.
Correct. This one we had quite a bit of conversation about. When you go to rezone land that has typically been a neighborhood in nature and expanded into more of a business district, there's always... There's always a lot of discussion about
some resistance to that by people that live in the area, right?
Well, occasionally there is, but it's something that you have to think through, and the gentleman that lives in that area stood up last night, he made a very valid point. He said when you move into a neighborhood, you sort of assume that it's going to stay a neighborhood. That isn't the words that he used, but that was the gist of what he said.
Right.
excuse me. And however, in very close proximity to that area, there is a fair amount of business district. In fact, just a couple lots down, it is in fact zoned business. So what we call that in city development terms is that's an area that's probably in some transition. And likely over the next few years, if the community continues to grow, we'll see more of that area possibly move into more of a business district. You never really know. It's kind of a quasi-residential business district right now. But with new zoning opportunities, you have a way to request a conditional use permit, and that was item number 10 that we pulled because we have to rezone it before we can consider the conditional use permit. But assuming the council continues to agree and vote in favor, then when we do consider item number 10, which could be in towards the end of May, we'll likely place conditions on the property that we're. The gentleman that's planning to build there stood up because they're going to build a privacy fence around it because his idea is to have a contractor business there. So he would be pulling trailers in and out, and perhaps some small equipment. And
so they're mindful that it's also it's a residential area and somewhat too. So mm-hmm. they're trying to do what they can to mitigate the effects of
exactly.
conducting business.
So. Exactly. And yeah. and I do think that the gentleman that's buying it right now is very likely to be a very good neighbor. But as a council member, you always have to consider what might happen 10 years from now. His business may grow, he may outgrow that area and he needs to move, and then he may sell it to somebody who maybe isn't such a good neighbor. And then you can end up with some difficult situations. And so that's why these decisions are hard. And, you know, no one in the city council likes to leave problems for somebody 15 years from now. But the truth is you have to make the best decision you can with the information you have today and move forward.
No one can project the future. You can kind of take an educated guess on that a lot of times compared to what's happened. But you want to promote business and business development. You want mm-hmm. you just have to weigh, you know, the pros and cons to doing that in a specific area. There's houses and individuals living in houses too, and how that's going to affect their lives. So
that is true, but that's why we have a city council, is to make those decisions.
That's right. Okay, down to 11, first reading in action to adopt an ordinance to amend the City of North Platte Code of Ordinances, Section 156.144, Special Design Criteria for RM Mobile Home Parks, to add G4. This concerns the having a solid foundation on these, so they don't have to build storm shelters, right? Separate storm shelters, which are normally required for mobile home parks?
Well, that's relative. The truth is that, so what this does is add basically a second option to provide a sound foundation.
Okay.
And the North Platte ordinances say, in essence, that you, as far as a storm shelter, you need to be in compliance with the FEMA recommendations. It's basically right. what the ordinance is.
Right.
But if you look across Nebraska, we could only find one other community that has that recommendation. Most other communities have no requirements for shelters. If you look at most of the mobile home communities that are in North Platte, we're pretty sure only two of them actually have one.
Okay.
And I didn't go visit them, but I did talk to some people who've been in them, and they say that the only way they would go in them is if they were absolutely thought that they were going to die. Okay. Because they're usually, you know, you can't dig very deep in North Platte and not hit water. So there's often water in them. There's often all sorts of crawly, creepy things living in them, and so people don't go in them very often. It also adds quite a bit of expense to the development. And when you consider all of these things, in Nebraska, tornadoes are absolutely a horrible, dangerous thing. But the foundations that are being set up for these homes are very similar to the foundation that is in the house that you and I probably live in. I've never seen your house, Corey, so I don't know where you live, but
yep.
My house sets on a small crawl space. And as from a structure perspective, these pinion-based foundations are the same, according to the engineers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can debate whether a small home provides the same protections as a large home, but I think that you really just have to look at the pictures of the neighborhoods in Oklahoma and Texas that have been hit by big tornadoes, yep. and there's nothing there. So getting away to a safer place is probably a better option,
yep.
whether you're living in my house or one of those houses.
Yep.
Now, if you've got a 5-foot-deep basement or something like that, you're in a little bit different situation.
Yep.
There's no question about that. Again, as a city council, you're sitting there thinking, we want to try to set people up for success. We want people to be as safe as possible. But on the other side of the coin, we have to have some sort of reasonably priced housing in our community. It's one of our big stumbling blocks.
Yep.
We've got lots of housing going in, which is fantastic. It's not all reasonably priced.
Right.
And so the council has to sort of balance those two
yep.
things.
Yep, you're always looking at that, for sure. Moving on with that one,
mm-hmm.
and on to second reading
yep.
at the next meeting.
Yep, it'll come to a second reading.
Okay. And then 12, consider action on an application by Lutheran Family Services of Nebraska for a conditional use permit to allow construction of an outpatient health clinic. And this is at 1160 Linda Court. And this is something the Planning Commission considered and recommended to go ahead and adopt that. So how did the council take that last night?
The council moved forward with this conditional use permit. This building would be very similar to having a physician clinic in your neighborhood. It's people coming and going during normal business hours, doing visitations to counselors and things like that. They're nothing particularly unusual. I'm excited about it because Lutheran Family Services would use this building for a variety of their services around counseling, but one of them particularly is going to be alcohol and drug use counseling, which is something that we need to do a better job of addressing in our community.
Okay. So that goes, was that a one-time only thing, or will it come back?
Yes, that's a one-time only, conditional use permit.
So you granted the
CUP? We did grant
CUP?
That. Yep, we did.
Okay, anything else out of the meeting you wanted to mention?
No, we did have a brief discussion on the selling of industrial lots, and Councilman Lucas made a motion to table it for now because we wanted some additional information on the proposed project.
Okay.
So that will likely come back in a couple weeks.
Next meeting will be on the
17th, or no,
21st.
21st, excuse me. I can't do math today. Wow.
21st.
It's already Wednesday.
I can add 14 and 7 anyway.
Apparently I can today.
Well, you know, this is the late. I mean, that's the latest you can have your first meeting of the month is the 7th.
It is.
So that kind of screws you up because most of the time it's earlier. So
that's right. That's right. We'll be back.
You're thinking an earlier number.
I know.
21st is the latest second meeting.
Exactly.
The second meeting can be in the month. Mayor Kelleher has been our guest on the first half of the show. We appreciate you as always, sir. Have a good rest of your week and enjoy the warmer weather, and hopefully we'll get some rain here in the next few days.
I certainly hope so. Have a great day, everyone. Thanks, Corey.